1 Corinthians, and we'll go to chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We will read the rest of chapter 2 and then down into the third chapter. I want you to stand tonight. I want to look at this. I pray that God might help us as we look at it. Something God laid on my heart about the middle of the afternoon. Trying to seek something, find what God wanted for the service even since Sunday night and left here. But God settled me on this in about the middle of the afternoon. I pray that God might give us something that will be strengthening to us, challenging, helpful, and turn us in His direction. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible said, "But the natural man," get this in your mind, "but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Amen. And we'll look at the difference in those tonight. Chapter 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Amen. You be seated, and let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for the reading of the precious, unadulterated Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the textbook we have as a child of God to teach us, to train us, and to tell us how that we can walk and how we should walk and not walk. Thank you tonight, Lord, that we've come to the house of God. I pray you'd bless, you'll strengthen, you'll encourage. Lord, you'll reveal to us the condition of our heart, that God, tonight we might get it settled before you. Lord, we leave this building tonight. May there not be any confusion on how we stand with you. I pray tonight, Father, that you'll work on us, work in us, work through us. And Lord, we know you'll work for us. We'll give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to accomplish in our heart and life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want us to look tonight. There's three individuals. I've preached on this before, and maybe not in the manner I'm going to tonight. But there's three individuals, or three groups of people, I guess is the way I ought to say it, that are mentioned in what I've just read. Number one, you've got the natural man. In verse number 14, he calls him the natural man. And we're going to talk about who the natural man is, and you're going to be able to identify. Somebody said, "I don't know as you can tell all these or not." Well, you may have some question marks about some people I have never figured out. Now, I've come to the conclusion I'll never figure them out. Amen. And I've been in a lot of places, seen a lot of people. There's a lot of people you just can't lay your hand on the life that they live. And then there's some that you don't have to even question. There's a second one mentioned in verse number 15, and he's the spiritual man. You got the natural man, you got the spiritual man. And then in chapter number 3, you've got the carnal man. The word carnal is mentioned in verse 1, and we find it mentioned in verse 3 two times. And verse number 4, it's mentioned one time. So he mentions the word carnal four times. And I want to remind you that four is the number of the world anyhow. You can kind of put the carnal man as the man that's in the world. And we're going to look at this tonight. Now I want to take my time. I'll not get through. We'll just quit. Amen. Because there's too much I know tonight that we need to talk about. But going back to verse 14, let's examine the natural man. Now I want to tell you, you can figure the natural man, you can figure the carnal man to a certain extent, and you can figure the spiritual man. But the hardest ones to figure out is the carnal. Now I want to remind you that the world, or the natural man tonight, is not that big an enemy to the church. I want to let this sink in. The natural man, the drunkard down the street, he don't give the church much trouble. Everybody knows he's a drunk. The harlot, the gambler, the sinner that's in gross sin, they don't give the church much trouble. Oh, they talk about the church. Yeah, they're a hindrance to it to a certain degree. But you know nobody bothers that. I mean, you look at it. I'm not saying that we ought to accept it. We shouldn't. But I'm saying tonight that the natural man is not the enemy of the church so much. And the spiritual man's not the enemy of the church. The spiritual man is the man that follows God with all his heart, or the woman, amen. And the one that follows God with all their soul and trying to work in the Word of God, prays, seeks the face of God, wants what's right, does what's right, and has a burden for the things of the Lord. You don't have no trouble in the church with spiritual-minded men and women. You get spiritual-minded, nobody have to worry about you. Amen. You won't cause no trouble. Matter of fact, you'll help the things of God. The lost man or the natural man is not going to hurt too much in the church, especially in our age. Because I've done found out everybody's saved anyhow, you know. I mean, hear people tell it, they're already saved. And, they're not too upset, too disturbed. And to think about it today, they don't even go to church. We've come to the conclusion that only lost people, amen, need to go anyhow. But what we have a problem with in the church is those who are called carnal. Now, carnal people are hard to figure out. And all carnal people are not saved, and all carnal people are not lost. I used to hear preachers get up and preach that carnal people were lost people, and as lost church members. And I followed suit with that. I thought it sounded pretty good. And then I heard preachers preach that carnal people were saved people, but had backslid on God. And I thought that sounded pretty good. But I've come to the conclusion, brother, there are some of them lost and some of them saved. And I'm going to tell you about this in just a minute. You just look at this. And we mix them in the same pot. Now, I want to go back and look at this. And I want to tell you, I just thought about this. I'm going to throw this in right quick. It's kind of throwed in. Give you something to chew on and think on. I always get these little things come in on my phone that tells us what's happening. And this is about California. And California says that in 2024, January the 1st, 2024, that they will no longer produce and sell lawnmowers and weed eaters and gasoline engines of any kind. And then by 2030, they're going to put out cars that are not combustible engines. Now you say, where are you getting at this? Just listen to me. And they say that it's all going to go electric. And some of the car manufacturers, or some of them is producing a lot of stuff, are not even sure what's going to happen. They're still in the dark. But by 2035, there will no longer be any gasoline passenger cars.
cars. The bigger vehicles and so forth will still have that, and I don't know what they're going to do. That's what they're saying. But what happens is I went to the flea market, junk store. And I drove down. If you don't believe what I'm telling you, listen to this. You can prove me. Go down to Clarksville Mill. Right down here at Clarksville Mill at the antique store, the antique mall. And you see all those U-Haul trucks sitting out there? Drive on past the U-Haul trucks. And right behind the U-Haul trucks, there's four parking lots or four places for cars. And it's got two electric charging stations that will charge four automobiles. And it said parking only for charging. Right here in your hometown. While you're asleep, they're doing that. And I'm telling you, you better wake up. Amen. I got to thinking about what you're going to do with your gasoline car. Park it out back. You can't get no gas for it. If it does, maybe $10 a gallon. And then sometimes they'll stop it somewhere down the road. Now, I don't know where this is coming to and howdy, but I'm seeing all this unfold before me. Now, let's look at this tonight. Chapter number 2, verse number 14, 1 Corinthians. The Bible said, but the natural man. Natural. What's a natural man? He's just a plain old natural man, just been born one time. Hadn't had the second birth. The second birth changes his position. The new birth changes his identity. The new birth changes his lifestyle. But the natural man has not had a new birth. He's still dead in his trespasses and sins. He's a lost man or a woman. Somebody that's never called upon the Lord and has never been saved. That is a natural-minded man. Or a natural man. He said, but the natural man, what's it say? Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now the reason he poses no problem in the church is he don't even, he has no use for the church. He has no use for church people. He don't know the Spirit of God. He wouldn't know him if he met him in the road. Amen. He wants to get away from the church. He wants to stay away from the church. He don't want to be around preaching. Amen. He don't mind singing, but he don't want to be around preaching because preaching makes him nervous. Natural men do not love the church. Natural men do not honor the church. Natural men do not love the things of God. And he don't honor the things of the Spirit of God. That's number one. Secondly, it says, for they are foolishness unto him. Why do you want to think sometimes that they are laughing at you for going to church? They will laugh at you for going to... Have you ever had family members? I have. That'll say, why do you go to church every time the door's open for? Can't you just stay out sometimes? My grandmother that lived over in Hiawassee before she died at 101. They used to have gatherings together on Sunday, and we could never go to the eatings that they had. And they said, how come you can't just give up your church on one Sunday and come on over here? Family's family. And I say, yeah, but God is God. And you think that I'm supposed to give up the church and go over and eat with you? That's more spiritual. Now, they never did see it that way, but... Amen. I said, have it on Saturday, and I'll show up. Had it on Saturday one time, and I showed up. But it wasn't comfortable for them. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? So we find tonight the natural-minded man, he thinks church going, reading the Bible, and praying is a foolish thing. Now, I'm not going to ask this tonight, but we took a poll of people who goes to church. I wonder how many of them think that. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? I wonder how many of them reads the Bible. I wonder how many of them prays. I wonder how many of them thinks it's important to go to the house of God. Amen. And so, that's number two. They think the things of God are foolish. That's what a natural man says. Well, I don't have trouble with them people. What do they do to detain or demote or bring down and tear down the house of God? Nothing. We label them. They laugh at us. We go on. You understand what I'm saying? They're against God. They're going to hell. I'm not proud of that. I'm not even thanking God for that. I'm just telling you tonight, the natural man, he believes the things of God are foolish. Then the third thing about him, he says, neither can he know them. What can he know? He don't know the things of God. He thinks they're foolishness. The lost man can't save himself. His parents can't save him. The world can't save him. And the church can help him get to the altar and get him saved, but he don't like the church. Now that's the battle that we're fighting tonight. And I'm laying this out pretty plain and simple. And it said, neither can he know them, but because he tells you why, he can't know them. Because they are spiritually discerned. He's not a spiritual man, so he can't comprehend the things of the Spirit. Why can't he comprehend the things of the Spirit of God? Why can't a lost man understand why he shouldn't be at the church or why he should be at the church? Either one. Why can't he understand that he ought to live right and do right? Because he does not know the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is only given to those who are spiritual. Then the spiritual are those who are born again. Now let's read on. He said, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You know what the spiritual minded man is? He's the man that knows the mind of God. He's the man or woman that knows the Word of God. He's the man or woman tonight that's been birthed into the family of God. He's the man or the woman tonight that has walked and come and gave himself to the Lord Jesus and confessed his sin. He's a man or woman that's been forgiven of God. He or she is the man or woman who has been birthed into the family and made a new creature, and their mind has been changed, their heart has been changed, and their life has been changed. Amen. You ever get around somebody and they'll say, boy, you can tell he must walk with God, or she walks with God. Amen. Get quiet here. Now listen, we're not at a funeral. I'm telling the truth. I'm laying it down as plain as I know. Now, let's go down to chapter number 3 and verse number 1. It's not the spiritual man that will cause trouble in the church. Every church trouble in the world has not originated from spiritual men and women. It has originated from carnal folks in the church. Church problems don't originate from the drunk down the road or the bartender. Amen. Or the lottery player. Or those who fiddle around with sin. Amen. But where's trouble come in the church? From that that claims to know God, but don't know God, or is either backslidden on God. Now, I do believe, and I want to tell you tonight, according to what I've seen in the Word of God, you can slip away from the presence of God and lose, not your salvation, but lose your testimony. Everybody in this building's got cold and indifferent from time to time. You said, no, I've been on fire all my life. Yeah, you need to come to the altar for the first time in your life and get things settled. Amen, you're lying. I hadn't. Amen. Things don't get right with me all the time. Don't stay right with me all the time. I get out of kilter. More I stay in the Word of God, the better I am. The closer I stay with the Lord, the better I get. But the further I get away from Him, the colder I get. Now he said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you." Now he can't, and he's going to tell you who he couldn't speak. As unto spiritual. In other words, Paul said, "I can't talk to you like I talk to the saved man or woman." You ever wonder why the preacher sometimes always is talking to some, more than he's talking to others? Maybe y'all got a different language. You know who you run with? You'll run with those that are like you. You'll run with those that live like you. You'll run with those that love God if you're saved. But if you don't, if you're not saved tonight, or you're out of the will of God, you won't run with the spiritual minded. You get nervous around them. So you run with those who you can cuss and swear and laugh with, make fun of, talk about. Come on. Amen. You don't want to get around certain people, because all they're going to do is talk about God. They're going to tell you about the things of the Lord. He said, "And I, brethren," he's talking to the believers. Notice chapter 3 is not dealing with the lost. It's dealing with the brethren in particular. There may be some in there. But look here, he said, "And I, brethren, could not speak with you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Let me just ask you this. How many little babies you ever been around that you just said, "All right now, little feller, how you doing today?" And he looks up at you and said, "Fine. Just been in the hot, been home 2 days." You can't speak to him as an adult. You have to talk to him as a babe. And Paul's giving that illustration here tonight. He said, "I wanted to speak to his spiritual. I couldn't tell you about the things of God and get you to praising the Lord with me. I had to talk to you as babes." Then in verse number 2, he clarifies that a little better. He said, "I have fed you." Past tense. "I have fed you with milk." Now, can anybody tell me tonight how long it's been since Paul's been feeding them? I can't. I don't know how long Paul had been feeding them with milk. Now, why is he feeding them milk? He said, because they're babies. How come he found out they're babies? Because they couldn't handle meat. They couldn't handle the deep things of God. They had to have a bottle. And he was feeding them milk. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat." I can't spoon feed you with food, strong food. I've got to give you milk. He said, "For hitherto you were not able to bear it." Whenever I started feeding you, you wasn't able to bear it. And then Paul says in the last part of verse number 2, which is bad. He said, "Neither yet now are you able." I've been feeding you with enough milk and feeding you with milk long enough that you should have already gained some strength and got strong in the Lord. Now let me just stop and park right here. Can I do that? Don't matter, I'm going to anyhow. What are you saying, preacher? How long? I mean, can you just... I've been around a while. I've seen it happen everywhere I've been. I see it happen in churches. I hear these people that's been in the same church for 30, 40, 50 years out in the public, and I hear them griping and complaining and saying terrible things about their preacher, saying terrible things about their church, saying terrible things about people in their church. And you know what I say? Carnal! 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 If you've been in church for 30, 40, 50 years, and I'll cut that down just a little bit in a minute, but if you've been in church that long and you're not much better than you were when you came, you haven't grown a bit in the grace of God, you're not no stronger in the Lord now than you were 30 years ago, something's wrong. You didn't want to put your feet under the table of God. You didn't have the man of God that you needed to have to feed you, or you just didn't want it. Amen? Carnal. Carnal. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. In other words, days past you weren't able to bear it. And the fact is, you're not able to bear it now. Now I want to go back just a minute. And I want to look at some of this stuff right here. And just get some of these words. I know you may not want to go to the dictionary too often and look at these words. But the words tell us a whole lot. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. I didn't look that up because I know what it is. But as unto carnal. Now, when you get home tonight or tomorrow, sometime you get up, look the word carnal up in the dictionary. Preferably in the Webster's 1828 would help you. But it's good enough to just find it in the other. Now here's what the word carnal means. You can write these down. And this is what Paul is plain out telling them. Carnal means to be sexual active. May not physically, but in your brain. Carnal. When I was a boy, I used to hear people talk, adults talk, and they said, they're carnal. And I'd say to them, what's carnal? And mama would say, wicked. Now for years, I didn't know nothing but that. That's what it was. Wicked. Amen. The word carnal not only means that, it means sensual. Not only sexual minded, but to be sensual minded. Sensual means trying to please the flesh. Sensitive to what you want. Sensitive to your desires. You mean we've got church people like that? Absolutely. Now it is getting quiet. Carnal means to be lustful. Having a desire for something that you don't need. That you think you need. It also means keeping up with your bodily pleasures. I want what I want. I want what I want when I want it. I want what I want when I want it the way I want it. That can go to anything. Amen. All right. That's what it means. It means relating to the physical. It means relating to the bodily. Did God make you to be carnal? No. Is God pleased with you being carnal? No. Does God want you to entertain yourself and get what you want and do what you want when you want it? No. Amen. The Bible says you're bought with a price. You're not your own. Matter of fact, it's twisted around backwards, but you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. That word carnal means you live in the temporal. And you're not thinking about the eternal. There's two people don't think about the eternal. The natural man who don't know God because he don't know there's a hereafter sometimes. And the second is the carnal who's got his attention on himself. Now you can't build a church on carnal people. Don't you go out tonight and say the preacher said we is all carnal. I ain't made that statement. I can if you want me to, but I don't know I'm telling the truth. And I ain't going to tell you that unless I know. But there's a good possibility some of you in this building tonight are carnal. And I'll leave it at that, and you make the list right here down to church across the road down here. Said Jesus is making a list and checking it twice. You can go home and check, make a list and check it twice on you. Hear me? And we'll find tonight that it's always relating to the physical, the bodily, the temporal, the worldly. And all this is meaning that you have appetites for the flesh. You have appetites for the world. You have appetites for the temporal thing. It could be anything under the sun that you got an appetite for. It could be impure thoughts. It could be lustful thoughts. It could be worldly thoughts or lewd thoughts, if you will. But it leans to the flesh. And most of us in the church walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit. I said, "Preacher, you're hitting hard." I know. But I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to the choir as well. Understand? So the word carnal goes home with that thought. Now let's look at a little bit more. Paul said, "I've fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto or before in past days, you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." Then he switches in verse number. Well, let me just share this with you before I get down to the next verse. You said that wasn't going on in Paul's day in the church. That's not really what he meant. Preacher, it wasn't that bad. What he's talking about and what you described in that sound like two different things, and I don't believe you got it right. Okay, let me give you another verse of Scripture and let you make up your mind. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Right over from you. If most of you got a Schofield Bible, it'll just be right over there on the same page, the right hand down at the bottom. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, Paul said after he got chapter 2, 3, and 4 out of the way, "It is reported commonly." Commonly. What's commonly? Does that word common, as if I'm wrong with it, does that mean it's kind of standard, it's kind of noticed, it's just kind of something that's going on that nobody pays no attention and we just took for granted? Is that what it means? Or did I twist it? I don't think I twisted that. Paul said it's reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Now, fornication is sexual relations between a man and a woman outside of marriage. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. He's preaching to these little old Jews. You see, in the 1 Corinthians, it's just getting the grace of God started good. And he said that one should have his father's wife. There's somebody in your congregation, Paul said, that's running around and having fornication with his father's wife. Now, that may not bother you. That may not do anything for you. But to me, that's pretty low. Now, do you see why Paul's writing this in chapter number 3? He's talking to the same crowd. He's just getting a little deeper. I get tired of hearing these preachers just scratch over. Amen. You know, when you go to raking leaves, there's two ways of raking them. You rake the top layer off, and you get done quicker. You don't get as tired. But if you want to get those leaves out that's stuck to the ground and most of the time they're wet, you got to dig on them to get them out, and it looks better when you get through, but you're wore out. I get tired of these preachers that just kind of top leaf raking. That may not sound like a good illustration, but I think you got it. So here's what he said. He said, "I fed you with milk and not with meat." Now, verse number 3, here's what he says. Paul said, for ye are yet carnal. You're as carnal when I sent the letter. You're as carnal when I fed you with the meat or milk because you couldn't eat the meat. And now you are still carnal. Paul said, I'm at wit's end. I can't get you changed. People under preaching the Word of God, amen, under leaf raking preaching, don't get enough to turn them. You got to dig deep. It's when God starts, you know where them bugs are? They're off down there in the bottom somewhere. You ever rake leaves and bugs start going everywhere? Amen. Preacher, go to preaching and you'll see a few bugs crawl out under you every once in a while too. Amen. It'll be in your countenance. Here's what he said. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you, and he gives three things that you can see, and it's the fruit and the evidence of being carnal. I didn't write this now, ladies and gentlemen. He said, here's three things. Whereas there's among you, number one, envying. You know what the word envy means or envying means? You've got to study this with being, and you've got to look at it from the context or the text tonight of carnality. Because carnal people do it. What's it mean for carnal people to be envious? Or to demonstrate envying? It means this. That they desire to have the possession of somebody else or what somebody else has got. In other words, it's real close to covetousness. If it's not. It means, to be envious means to begrudge what somebody else has had and got. And you get jealous because they've got it and you hadn't. Does that sound like church folks to me? Yeah, it does to me. I don't know about you. Somebody in the church get a brand new car. They say, I wish I had one of them. You may not tell them that, but when you get home, you said, you see, oh, what so-and-so coming that new car today? Said, it's probably because they don't tithe and they rob God and we're tithe and then we can't buy one like that. I've heard that over and over. He said, I've never said that. I didn't say you did. But I've heard it from people. India. Now remember, this is on the thought of carnality, desirous of things for the flesh. They want to have for themselves. That word means to begrudge, means to desire, to covet, to want. The second thing, it says they envy, they have envy in them. Secondly, and strife. Have you ever looked that word strife up? Strife means to be have a conflict with something. In the church, it's usually a conflict with somebody. And most of the time, it's a conflict with a preacher. That's true. Have a conflict with him or with somebody. It means to put some friction in. If there's strife in anything we do at the house of God sometimes, it's because somebody is carnal and they're not wanting the things of God and they want to put the friction in. Discord is another word for it. Discord is arguments, quarreling, disagreeing, and even getting the place of being hostile. Some of y'all may have never seen any hostility at the church, but I have. Amen. I've had people point their finger in my face. I've had them get up and stand up and tell me they didn't believe it and sit back down, say, preach it anyhow. I've been threatened. I've been accused of this and accused of that. And I'm not up here trying to get pity sakes. Those people are out of my life. They're gone. And if it didn't get right, they went to hell. But I'm not rejoicing over that. I tried to win them. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Carnal people are those who are always a quarreling and hostile, and they disagree, and they're always upset. They're always arguing with what's going on. Maybe arguing about the way the preacher done this, or something the preacher didn't do, or maybe he done something upset them. You know what? I go home and I don't pay much attention to it. I just go home and I used to, it bothered me. It would bother me. It still disturbs me. But when I go to, when I go to try to preach another message, if I hear somebody talk about, "Oh, that was a tough sermon, that's rough," I just go home and say, "Lord, give me a tough one." You think I can't hide one time, you better not tell me. I just ask God to dig a little deeper. Pour a little salt in. Because I'll tell you now, you're not right with God. I'm not right with God. We all miss the mark. We fall short. There's a lot of room for improvement in my heart and life, and I expect a bunch of amens in my life, but I expect a bunch in yours too. So Paul said, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions." That's the third one, divisions. He said, "Are you not carnal and walk as men?" When you walk as men, you're walking as natural men. Never been saved. That's what a lot of people do. You know, the dangerous thing for people in the church is to have just enough God to make them nervous or make them dangerous. The church is filled with people that don't really know God, but to know about God a little bit. They've never known what it is to be forgiven of their sin. They've turned over a new leaf. Somebody's told them that they got saved. Somebody said, "Repeat this prayer." If you believe that, you're all right. I don't do that, but amen. When I first started the tract ministry, if you'll notice any of the tracts we got here, and people have asked us sometimes to print tracts that they've written, and they always send them, not always, but many times send them, and they'll have on the back of it, now pray this prayer. And down below it, they'll say, "If you've prayed this prayer and believe that, you're saved." Somebody says, "Preacher, could I get a tract like that?" And I tell them, "No siree. We don't repeat prayers here." I'll tell you how I got saved. The Holy Ghost got a hold of me one day, convicted me of my sin. I got up out of my seat, run down to the aisle. Well, I didn't run. I walked pretty fast. I was wanting to go to the back door, but my foot got in the wrong direction. I didn't want to go to the altar. I was trying to find me a door, and I did. Thank God, the door. At the altar, and I got saved by the grace of God. I called upon the Lord. He saved me. I didn't know what was going on when it was happening. But physically, when I got birthed the first time, I didn't know what was going on. And when I got birthed the second time, I didn't know what was going on. But I got in. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Amen. But I do know this. When God changed my heart and life, I was just a young boy. I was 12. I was just a young little lad. I hadn't grown up in the world of sin to know what's going on out there. I was a pretty good, I think, pretty good teenager. My mom and daddy might have disagreed with me if they was here tonight, but they're not, so I'll say it. There's a lot of things I didn't do that was right, but I noticed this when I was 13, when I was 14, when I was 15, when I was 16, when I was 17, when I was 18. If I ever started and if I did do something that was wrong, there was something happened to my heart, and brother, God got a hold of me, and I was nervous and upset. I wasn't afraid that mom and daddy is going to get me. I was afraid God was going to do something to me. I had some convictions when I was young. I didn't just get these convictions I have today since I've been preaching. And I'm not up here tonight trying to tell things and get you upset and disturbed. But I'm not up here to keep from it either. Because God called me to preach, and I love it. Amen. Put duct tape over me, I'll get it off somehow. I'll chew it off. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, there's some divisions. Thought I was going to skip that, didn't you? Divisions, dividing. To have divisions means there's some separation. What do you separate from if you're carnal? You separate from good. You separate from God. You separate from the Word. You separate from the Spirit of God. Church going just nothing to some people. It never bothers them to stay out of service. I done seen that happen. And everybody around you has seen that happen in the last 2 years when COVID come sticking its nose in the door. There's people right now that's already got in the habit of not going to church and they won't never go back. They was glad that COVID come through, even if it did take some of their loved ones, simply because they don't have to go now. And always use COVID. I know I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
And they don't still don't go. Amen. Social media. All that stuff. They think, oh, we get it on that. That's not, social media is not a substitute for church. Forsake not to assemble yourselves, as a matter of some is. But he tells us we're to go to the house of God. So there's division. There's separation. It means there's splits. Carnality brings splits to the church. Brings splits to the family. Brings splits. I'm talking about to your children and to you parents and kids. Have you ever seen a spiritual home separate? Oh, you said, I have. No, you thought they're spiritual, but they weren't. Amen. A spiritual person will put up with more things than you think it is. I mean, they won't just take out and run off on their husband or their wife if they're spiritual. Amen. All the years I was married, I never did think about leaving my wife. I thought about killing her a time or two. Amen. Now, don't y'all laugh at me. I had a good wife. But I want to tell you tonight, if you've been married any length of time, you've felt the same thing. But spirituality will keep you together. Now, one can get so messed up and not be spiritual. Have you ever seen a spiritual mom, a spiritual daddy, and spiritual children that ever got, I mean, so divided that they couldn't live around one another no more? What makes teenagers take off and, amen, want their own lifestyle? Because there's a division between mom and daddy. Well, it's not because of spirituality. It's either because of being natural-minded or carnal.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. If you don't believe it, pick up your Bible in the morning and read it. And read it. I mean, read it every waking moment you got before you go to the job. And then while you're on the job, think of everything you read all morning. And let me back up and say, get up about 2 hours earlier and start reading it. I ain't talking about reading over Psalm chapter 9, chapter and verse number 1, 2, and 3, and then shutting your Bible and going. Some of y'all been in Psalms for 20 years. You see what I'm talking about? You get to thinking about that. You know what? Your whole world will change if you'll stay in this book. It'll make you walk as Christ and not as men. Walk as Christ and not as men. Thank God for His goodness tonight. I didn't get it all done, but I said enough to give you a load. We'll quit right there. And here we are. I still believe we got people in the church that's classified as carnal, but they're as lost as they can be because they never met. They just put on a new leaf. They just changed and done better. Then there's some tonight that just didn't grow. You know, the thing's going to tell us when we get out of this old walk of life where we were. There's a lot of spiritual people in Noah's day. There's a lot of, I believe godly, what they call godly people in Noah's day. But when it's all said and done, they wasn't but eight. You think God made a mistake and left some behind and flooded them out that were right? No, I don't. You think that they had about 50 or 60 on the earth? No, it's 2,000 years worth of people. Multitude went out. Let's stand.